The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
Prime Minister, negotiating FTAs with the EU and the US and securing their ratification in less than 3 years, I think is going to be a Herculean task for you. But we do want to be your friend and your ally, your Athena in doing so.
If I only had the words to tell you.
You do not have to say anything. Is that right? Hang on, let's get this right.
Yeah. Public sector working together. Why we will never.
And I know you'll carry on the best you can.
I couldn't give a flying flamingo what your view is.
Thank you very much indeed.
A selection of political voices there talking about procedural matters and Brexit and Greek classics thrown into the mix as well. Well, this week the Taoiseach framed Ireland as Athena in relation to Boris Johnson's Heracles in his address marking the Prime Minister's first visit to Ireland since taking office. So is drawing on Greek mythology the way to engage an audience, and can a speech crafted like this help to land the Speaker's message? I'm joined by Miriam O'Callaghan, who is a former speechwriter for Enda Kenny, and in studio by Conor Brophy, Director of Strategic Communications with Teneo. You're both very welcome to the programme. Miriam, first to you, Leo, referring to the classics, was it a good idea or a bad idea?
I think it was a great thing, and I think it was a really sweet moment, and I think that any speechwriter in the country who was watching that was thinking, oh, this is really good, and I think it was just a lovely, lovely thing to watch.
Tell the truth now, Miriam, did you get it?
Oh, I thought it was lovely.
Did you get Heracles and Athena without having to look it up?
I did.
Conor Brophy, did you get Athena and Heracles?
I'm going to admit, no. Every day is a school day. For me, it was an education. I had to Google it afterwards. I was all over Wikipedia, like I think. But I think that the interesting point, though, for me is, look, firstly, the secret to any great speech is that it has to resonate with the audience and knowing your audience. For that particular line, I think it's clear the audience was Boris Johnson, who would have gotten it and was a classically educated. So it was very well designed for that purpose.
And that's a very interesting point, Miriam, as well, about knowing the audience, and maybe it was for Boris. But you wrote a lot for Enda Kenny. How did that come about?
I did. Well, I was actually working for another politician at the time when Enda Kenny asked me to go to work for him when he was the Minister for Tourism and Trade. Then after that, I set up my own business writing. And then when he was made leader of Finnegan, he asked me to go and work for him as a speechwriter, which
was
I
it.
Did.
Was it an easy gig? Was he an easy person to write speeches for?
He was a fantastic person to write for, but it wasn't an easy gig insofar as you're always on. It's very hard work. but I loved every second of working for him, I must say. Yeah.
What makes a good speech?
I think a good speech is something of itself. A good speech is something that has to sing. And I think it's all about image and story, and it's a series of moments. It has to have its own life insofar as it is out there in the ether and it kind of shimmers away between the speaker and the audience. I think Bill Clinton used to quote Maya Angelou saying that they won't remember what you said, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. And that is something that I always thought about when I was writing speeches for Enda Kenny, that I always wanted to create a series of moments with people, and that I wanted people to be able to look back and say, God, remember when he said this, or do you remember when he said that, or do you remember when we were there? And I think I managed it in some...
Conor Brophy, in your job, you find yourself writing speeches mainly for the corporate world. I'd imagine that's very different to a politician in one respect as well, is that I'd imagine that business people have a very specific set of writing instructions as to what they want and don't want in the speech.
Well, but they can't. I think at the core of it, what you're trying to do is exactly the same. Again, it's probably tailored for different audiences, and as you say, sometimes the boundaries are a bit tighter, particularly if you're talking, for example, about a CEO of a publicly quoted company where, as you are alluding to there will be shareholders who will be leaning on every word. There's also an internal audience. There's the people working in the business did, the colleagues
of
the person.
What do they say? Do they say things like, I want a speech, I want, Conor, I want it to be memorable, I want, I don't want to annoy the government, I don't want to annoy anybody in the audience, I want to be funny as well, and I want to sound like a real heavyweight intellectual. Off
yeah,
you
no,
go.
No, no problem at all. Yeah, so look, I like to draw on the summary that Ted Sorensen gave, who was obviously JFK's advisor and speechwriter of some renown, almost at the same standard of Miriam for the audience listening at home. But Ted said that there were four words that you needed to remember for any speech. It's brevity, levity, charity and clarity. And there were five lines that you needed. There's your outline, what the speech is going to be about. There's the headline, what do you want to be remembered for? There's the front line, what's the main point that everybody should know, and what's the speech all about? The sideline, so the historical allusion or quote or anything you can bring in that might give it life and bring it to a next level. And then there's the bottom line, what do people go away and remember afterwards? I often think what you're best off doing is starting at the end, really. What are people going to take away from this? What's the one thing that they need
and
to take away from it?
Achieve.
And that's what you want to achieve.
Miriam, let's say, for example, with Enda Kenny, I mean, I know he was famous for telling these kind of little anecdotes about how I met a woman in a coffee shop this morning. That wasn't scripted by you, was it?
No. And I think Conor hit the nail on the head there, and what he said is very right. But I think that writing for business is very different for when in terms of writing for a politician, particularly in the long term. Because if you're writing for a politician in the long term, they're not just getting up and saying, this is what I'm doing and here is my plan and here is what I've done. They're actually saying to the people and to the country, in the case of a leader, they're saying, this is who I am. So whoever is writing for them is going to have to know who they are, insofar as it is possible for any human to know another. And I think
Would you write for any of the current administration, Miriam?
I wouldn't. I think speech writing for a Taoiseach is something that I have done, it's not something that I would personally like to do again.
I think not Leo, no. You could get all those classics in there.
No, I think the current administration for me, I think it's a bit too obsessed by public opinion. And I think there's a kind of a certain lack of seriousness there.
Is there anyone...
Big issues, say, of health and housing.
Is there anyone outside? Would you like to write for Boris Johnson?
I would not like to write for Boris Johnson. I'd love to write for Michael D, or I would love to write for Corbyn.
Corbyn.
The two people I would love to write for, yes.
Conor, what about the speech writing process in the corporate world? If you come up with something and you think this is great, does somebody draw a red line through it? Is it sort of speech writing by committee? Look, and it has to be approved?
Sometimes it can be. It's like the kind of the Tin Pan Alley songwriting process or the Hollywood script writing process. It can go through many pairs of hands before it gets to the finish line. And obviously there's internal comms departments.
Does
and
it end up better or worse at the end of that process?
Well, the more of my stuff that stays in, the better it is, I think, Richard.
Miriam, what about you in the political world? When you'd write something for Enda Kenny, was there a civil servant who'd say, oh, no, you can't say
no,
that?
No, I would say that writing by committee is one of the worst things. When you have a cast of thousands involved in a speech, it's never going to work. And I pity all the people who are over in the UK at the moment, all the speech writers who are writing for the various party conventions that are on, and they're probably getting dogs abused from everyone now, and doors are being banged and people are screaming at them, well, why haven't you done this? And then the speeches will be given and everybody will think that they're the greatest thing since the sliced bread. But committee writing doesn't work because you get a shopping list. And I think you saw that in the first speech that Boris Johnson gave. He stood up and clearly someone said, well, we'll have a bit of a vision thing at the beginning and the end, and then we napalm them with our list of what we are going to do. And committee writing of speeches doesn't work.
Conor, I remember seeing Bill Clinton deliver a speech. It was at a kind of a big corporate business event. I could only describe it as a sort of intellectual tour de force, in my view, not because he made lots of references to the classics or Greek mythology. It was actually the opposite, because it was very considered, very thought through. It had a beginning, a middle and an end, as Miriam referred to, but it was crystal clear and simple to understand. That's the real top of the mountain, isn't it?
Completely, yeah. And it's often the case, I find, with business leaders, and it's a strange thing, and probably refers back to the point you were making on about how tight the boundaries can be sometimes in the settings that you're in, be it, you know, an AGM, for example, or a keynote speech at a convention. When they're outside the audience, when you think of the famous Steve Jobs commencement speech at Stanford, the stay hungry, stay foolish speech that he made, sometimes when the shackles come off, you see that, as you say there with Bill Clinton, it's about their ability to communicate great ideas. It's not even that you often remember the words, but breaking it down very clearly, as Miriam would have done, for example, with Enda Kenny's very memorable Magdalene Laundrie's speech, the statement in the Dáil that day. It was about breaking down what happened and the lines that resonated, that haunted people. We took their babies, we trafficked them, we sold them.
Miriam, when it comes to speech writing, sometimes people remember particular phrases or lines, you know, from great speeches. One of the speeches, I don't know if it was a great speech, I think about the Reverend Ian Paisley and the Anglo-Irish talks in the 1980s when he said three words, never, never, never.
Never.
That's a pretty clear message.
That's a really clear message. You couldn't get clearer than Ian, yeah.
Well, just one other final point to you, Connor, which was that when it comes to business speeches, sometimes at the same event, you'll get two people who'll give two totally different kinds of speeches and maybe even contradict each other. Is that good or bad, do you think?
I think it's refreshing to have a variety of opinion, right? And then I suppose to the victor goes the spoils. Whoever has the best written speech, you would hope would triumph.
They make themselves look good. Connor Brophy and Miriam O'Callaghan, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.